It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Oh, we are living that dream and taking it with us. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Sitting to my right in the big seat is our good friend from the Burlington Free Press, Austin Danforth. Good morning, my man.
Yo.
Looking sharp today, buddy.
Thank you. New shirt. New winter shirt.
Where'd you get that shirt?
Oh, it's a little LL Bean number.
Sharp. Looking sharp, man.
Thank you. Looks cozy. It's cozy.
It is cozy. And then our guy, our ace producer over here, who I have to say is running the biggest Bush League football league that Sports Saturday's ever seen, because we have no idea who's winning this league. But you know what the thing is? I think I'm winning this league, only the last 2 weeks you seem to have lost the picks. So we have no idea that I'm winning by so many.
Wait, I had a good week last week, too.
Yeah, I had a good week, too.
Hey, if I'm not trying to blow this thing, I'm pretty sure I got the last ones home. I share a home office, so I'm trying to figure out if maybe someone moved them or something. If you remember your picks, feel free to write them down.
I believe I was undefeated.
I believe that's incorrect. I'm erroneous. Erroneous on
both
counts.
All I know is the last 2 weeks, I've had phenomenal weeks picking. And I come in, I came in this morning and I looked at Aaron and said, Aaron, what's going on? You haven't updated the standings over there on the big whiteboard, which, by the way, who has the beautiful, is it Rich that's got this nice writing?
No.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident.
No, I don't know, but Rich. I think it is. I think that's Rich Haskell's writing on the whiteboard. I know it's not Arnie's writing.
All I remember is that for years, the handwriting up there didn't look like that, and I know Rich was doing that.
I'm not talking about the bottom part, the gross part. I'm talking about the top part where it's nice, the red lettering.
The bottom part's also
definitely
not Rich. Where
it says Indiana at Ohio State. That stuff is sharp. But anyway, we have one little spot on this whiteboard, which is left for the 101.3 The Game, obviously the huddle during the week. That's where all their stuff is. But we've got a little Sports Saturday football pool up there, and the standings have not been updated in 2 weeks. And I demand to know why, because I think I'm winning this by a lot, and I wanted some bragging rights for the first time in my life against you two clowns, and now I don't have it because you've lost the picks.
Well, technically where we left off, you're still winning, so either way.
Hey, barely.
Don't worry, you're a tremendous slouch.
Yeah, thank you very much. Anyway, if you want to join our conversation today, call us 802-655-6672. Did you want to add something? No,
so,
I'm mad at you, though.
My explanation is not an excuse because it doesn't really vindicate me at all. But if you guys want to know what's going on, the week before last, I'm pretty sure I left them here. And I think either VMT or the guys from the huddle threw them out. Which, if it's guys from the huddle, I'm going to be angry because they keep all their stuff. So if they're throwing away my stuff, that's not cool.
Okay.
But it could also be VMT, and that would be different. Although still, if you're in the workplace and you see papers that you don't know what they are,
throw them away. First of all, stop passing the buck, number one. Number two, it's your responsibility to make sure these picks are secured and ready to go for after Sunday and after Monday. So when we come in here the next Saturday, Austin and I know who's in first place. And now all I know is the last 2 weeks, we have no idea who won. I can't remember who I picked, except I know they were good.
You're right. So, and I take blame for that. They should have made it home because I do that stuff from home.
Yeah.
They didn't that week. Last week, I think they did, and I don't know how they're gone
now. So last week, you think they made it home.
Yes.
Did you look under the seat of your car?
I've looked all over. I went to go do the picks last week after the games were over to go put them in, who won and who lost.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find them. I was losing my mind.
And I'm just going to say, I'm not piling on, Aaron, but as a one-time winner and yearly contender, challenger for the Free Press Fearless Football Forecast Crown, I'm actually holding it over the year because we didn't have any games to pick. As a multi-time fantasy football league winner, and There's a difference between how you pick when you got the lead or when you don't. Like if you,
that's
you,
a good point.
And if I don't know how much I'm losing by or how much I'm winning by,
you're not
I'm not
the
making
dice.
The picks. I'd be conservative. I'm not making educated picks right now.
I will write this wrong.
Thank
somehow.
You.
Thank you.
If I gotta buy you guys superb cupcakes or something.
Oh, okay. Now you're back in the good graces of me. Perfect. All right. If you want to join us today, guys, we love you, buddy, so don't worry about it. 802-655-6672 is the number to call. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. Should be a great show today. A lot to talk about. But I do want to start with this, Austin. I thought about you last night. I got home last night a little bit late and flicking through the TV, and I come across the Baseball Network, and guess what movie they're showing?
What?
The Natural.
Oh, Bob Redford.
Yeah, I mean, just a classic, something I haven't seen in many, many years. And it started making me think as I was sitting there watching this movie. And, you know, for a second, you put it on. You know, I shouldn't say I saw it maybe 4 or 5 months ago I saw it, but I always seem to turn it on at the exact same time. I missed the whole beginning of it. You know, the story of The Natural, the beginning of it, he's a young kid, lightning hits the tree, Wonder Boy, all that stuff. It's a great movie. But I started thinking about what are the best sports movies ever? What are the best movies ever? What are the ones that when you come across them, I own a couple of them.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd put that out there and let us know on the Town Fair Tire text line, or you can always call us and tell us, what's your favorite sports movie? Mine, and it's tough, as I'm sitting there last night thinking if I had to rank them, I don't know if I could rank them because I feel like some sports movies are comedy.
Right.
And some sports movies are serious. Like The Natural is a serious movie.
Yeah, that's not light.
Yeah, that's not like funny, you know. I think Hoosiers, to me, is probably number one in terms of just sports movie that I just, the Gene Hackman basketball movie, don't know. Gene Hackman's the basketball coach of this. It's a true story, too, I believe.
It's the town called Milan,
right.
Not Hickory.
Not Hickory, like it was.
Milan
Chipwood.
High, yep.
Yep, so that's a great movie. And then, obviously, you got the funny ones that the slap shots.
Caddyshack.
Major League. So let us know. Give me some of yours. What do you think?
So I'm thinking through this. Mine are all like the ones that are not like the headlining one in like the given sport. I mean, Caddyshack aside, I love Tin Cup.
Oh, that's a good
like
movie.
With like the yeah. stuff with Cheech Marin and Kevin Costner,
great.
The caddy and the golfer, like that kills me. I think of like Gene Hackman as a coach in the movie called The Replacements with Keanu Reeves.
That's a great movie, too. I love that movie.
But that's a funny football movie.
And don't you find that
you'll
be scrolling through on a Sunday afternoon and find that you're locked into that movie. I do that all the time. The Replacements are on a lot. I've seen that a lot.
I prefer A League of Their Own to
great
The
movie.
Natural or Field of Dreams. There's a level of nostalgia I just don't access. I do like Remember the Titans.
Great one.
Which you kind of can't not watch that whenever it's on.
We just got a text on the text on Varsity Blues and Friday Night Lights are two movies that they like. I never saw Friday Night Lights, but I thought Varsity Blues was funny. That was a funny movie. Varsity Blues wasn't I think that was funny and not funny at the same time.
Yes.
That was more like one of the kind of both.
It's
Billy
like,
Bob was in there.
Like
one.
Lightly dark.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you can see like the backside of a big time high school football program and was it? Like, I think it was based out of Texas.
Right.
What's the with the movie? Is it The Program? That movie that was a football movie.
Oh,
about
from like the mid 90s.
Yeah, it was a college football program.
It's got,
the head
James
coach
Conn.
James Conn was the head coach.
Yeah.
And they had the quarterback and the linebacker who blows his knee out, ends up losing it all. He comes from a very poor family, and the plan was for him to,
yeah.
That movie was a really good movie.
The two really under the radar ones that get me I think just because I grew up with HBO in the house and they were on quite frequently in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
There's one about Steve Prefontaine called Without Limits.
Yep.
Has Billy Crudup, who played he was the main rock star in the movie Almost Famous as well.
Yep.
That one I really enjoy. And then also there's a overlooked movie, soccer movie called Goal from I want to say like 2005, 2006 that like I really like it a lot. It follows a fictionalized story, of a guy that just rises from nowhere to play in the Premier League. It was really fun.
Trevor from St. Albans joins us now on the TikTok Jewelers, not TikTok, on the Town Fair Tire text line.
So many T's.
I know. He says miracle, which I can't believe. That's one of the best. That's an unbelievable.
The head is a heck of, the leg is a heck of a long way from dart.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Okay, George from Burlington says Rocky. Was it George from Burlington said that? Hold on. We got so many coming
in. Is it lighting up?
There's a lot coming in here. I don't know who said it, but Rocky. Of course. Wow. How could I forget Rocky? The greatest, I think one of the greatest movies of all time to me is it Rocky IV, the one where he fights the Russian? I mean, the greatest soundtrack ever is that soundtrack. The greatest sports soundtrack in the history of soundtracks is it Rocky IV, the one when he fights Ivan Drago?
Yes, and so the Ringer podcast, The Rewatchables with Bill Simmons, just did an episode on Rocky IV. And it's something like a third of that movie has no dialogue. It's montages. And I remember watching that when I was a kid and being like, oh, this is great. And then I rewatched it a couple years ago. And I'm like, this is a really shoddily written and like set up. But like,
can I just say something before you finish?
It didn't age well for me.
Okay, so I just want to tell you something. This is how much I love this movie. It doesn't age well for you. I don't know, man. To me, I love it. And this song is actually on one of my, I actually have this. I'm going to play it. I mean, let me just say, you listen to this for a little while, you'll run through a wall, okay? This is the part of the movie, all right?
Is this where he's climbing the mountain?
No, potentially. I think this is when they're comparing the two workouts where Rocky's in some house picking up like cinder blocks and Ivan's in this like very technical computer thing. Listen to this for a minute. I mean, does it get any better than this? I mean, it's get you fired up.
Was there a beach running scene in this movie,
earlier? That was
earlier in the series.
Yeah,
I mean, you got, Rocky is unbelievable. I can't believe I even didn't put that on my list. But Rocky IV is the best.
So Rocky, you can't. That's on the pedestal. Right.
The best Rocky one to you is which one?
One. Rocky like as one, an actual see, movie, that's better.
It's not about the movie when it comes to Rocky, though. It's just about like this, the motive. This movie right here is just all about ups
rewatching
and downs.
Rocky IV. It like the fact that it wasn't actually a good movie. Like I was like, I remembered this and it's not.
But what is a good movie? Like, what do you mean not a good movie?
Good writing.
It was just so loose and haphazard. Like,
oh my god, it's so awesome.
All tied together.
It.
You know,
yeah, that ties kind of together stuff. Well. The end of it, they come together.
I'm saying those are the things for a good movie. I haven't seen Rocky IV, so I don't know.
You get me going.
I think my favorite boxing movie is probably The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg playing Ward.
Yep.
And like Christian Bale is the brother. Dickie Eklund, Pride of Lowell. Head body.
All right, we got so many coming here. George said Rudy. That was my grandfather's favorite movie. Yeah, Rudy was a great movie.
How did I forget that?
That's a great one. Let's see. Dennis
He's
from
so
Georgia.
Little.
The Bad News Bears, another classic. Yeah, Dan and Morris, Rocky's speech to his son. Now, that one, thanks for bringing up that. I don't know if you've heard that one or not. That was one of the newer ones. I think that's the one where Rocky owns the restaurant and his son's older. Dan, I'm trying to remember which one it was.
That's not about how hard you can hit speech?
Yes. That speech is one of the best speeches.
How hard you can get hit. Moving forward.
I made a copy of that and I give it to my soccer team every year. I send it to them in a text once a year when we're having if we're going through a moment. Like, that is a great, great one. Scott from Burlington also says Invincible. Scott, you're on fire with this one.
Major League.
Eagles, I guess.
Major League, if only for Bob Uecker.
Oh, Major League's a great movie.
No, but great Major League is great.
Right.
But the best part of Major League is Bob Uecker.
Right. He was unbelievable in that. But I thought Major League in terms of each like the personalities were perfect.
Ensemble was incredible.
Ricky Vaughn and Roger Dorn,
Willie Mays Hayes,
and Lou Brown, the manager, maybe in my opinion, maybe the greatest. That's one of my favorite characters.
Give him
in any
the
movie.
Eater, Ricky.
That's right. I mean, yeah, I just Lou Brown was just the best. And then the catcher with Tom Berenger.
Yeah,
I mean, just an unbelievable movie. All right, look, we're running out of time here. We got to get to the Green City Garage poll question, but keep them coming in, guys. Glenn from Moncton, what did he say? And his speech to the board to be reinstated. That was another great one as well. Yeah, that's what I mean. Rocky, how can you say these Rocky movies? They just make you feel good. Like they pick you up. You know what I'm saying? Those 80s and 90s movies, we don't have those anymore. We don't have those like those Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Like last night, I also went across. I saw there. Arnold made a lot of cheesy movies too.
No, oh, yes, he did.
But I saw one last night too. I was scrolling through Jingle All the Way. Did you ever see that one?
Yes, oh, a long time ago. Is that with Tim Allen?
No, this is. I think Jingle. This is the one where his son wants this turbo. This doll for Christmas, this action figure.
Okay.
And Sinbad's in it. Sinbad's the post-word. Okay. It's funny, but, you know, come on, Arnold.
The Predator's a great watch.
Predator, classic. I mean, now, that's what I'm saying.
Come on, do it.
Oh, my
Kill
God.
Kill me.
Oh, my God. Those
Kill
are the
me. Do it now.
Get to the chopper. You get there. Yeah. All right, anyway, let's get to the poll question.
Not a sports movie. getting hunted by the Predator is sport.
It was sport for the Predator.
Yeah, so, okay.
But I will tell sports you, movie. But as I'm saying, you know, you don't have those. Those action movies with Stallone and now we're going off sports topic here, but those action movies between Stallone and Schwarzenegger and even, you know, Van Damme and last night there was, what's his name, the other martial arts guy that was big back in the 80s.
Seagal?
Seagal. I mean, those movies, I know you laugh at him.
Seagal's like problematic now.
Oh, I don't even know what he's doing now, but there was one on last night that I was watching for a little while before I fell asleep. But I mean, they're just, you don't have those action movies anymore. You don't have those action stars. Those were fun back in the day. All right, Green City Garage poll question. Green City Garage located at 49B Commerce Ave, number 5 in South Burlington. Phone number is 802-651-9299. Hey, we know winter's right around the corner. I mean, it's almost here. We're the week before Thanksgiving. If you want to get your car ready to go for the winter, go see my buddy Chris Wallace at Green City Garage. Not only are they the best garage, in my opinion, and the thing I love about Chris is, you know, he's patient. You know what I'm saying? There's no question that isn't, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get nervous to ask people questions. Yeah. Like for me, I am so illiterate when it comes to automobiles and what needs to be done for my automobile. Sometimes I get nervous talking to other people about it because, you know, I've told you guys many times, like, this car I have, I couldn't figure out the heat for a long time. You know what I'm saying? So when no question is too, you know, goofy for Chris. He's there to fix you and help you out. So give him a call. Green City Garage, South Burlington, Vermont, 802-651-9299. The question today is, and you can go to Twitter at 101.3 The Game and answer for us, is will the Patriots make the playoffs? Yes or no? So I ask you, Austin Danforth, do you think your Pats are going to the playoffs?
I thought the answer should have been yes or yes.
Oh, well, of course you do.
That's my answer.
Yes or yes. I'm going to take a no on this. I think it's going to be tough for them. I think there are some teams ahead of them, but I think they're going to make a hell of a run at it. I think they're going to put themselves in a position, but I'm not sure they're going to do it this year.
I don't know, because the tough thing is I have a hard time seeing them winning the division, right? The Bills look like they're going to do it, even though they've faltered a little bit. They look like they're going to win the division. And then the wild card race in the AFC is very tough. In the NFC, it's a little bit easier because you've got at least one lame duck division. But the AFC is a tough race.
It's going to be interesting. I do want to, before we go to break, Dennis from Georgia just said Draft Day, which is a great movie. That was with Kevin Costner. He was the general manager for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And that movie I went to, I'm going to tell you before we go to break, I went to that movie all by myself, and there was nobody in the movie theater but me watching the movie. It was like an 11 o'clock in that morning on a Saturday. Monica didn't want to go, so I went by myself. And have you ever been to a movie where you're the only one in it?
Oh, yeah. Regular. Oh, I love that.
Oh, I've never done that before. I mean, I had my phone. I mean, it was unbelievable. In fact, I had to go to the bathroom one point, and I wanted to say, can you just pause that for just 10 seconds? I just run. All right, we'll be right back.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Movie topic. People are talking. Man.
Lighting up the text.
They really are. And we appreciate that. I can't get to all of them. I really appreciate that. So thanks, guys, for texting. And keep them coming. 802-655-6672 is the number to call. Or text on the Town Fair Tire text line. We are Sports Saturday. Jeff, Austin, and Aaron here with you today. Thanks for listening. Hey, listen, I just want to bring this up. You know, I know that I do a lot, but I'm going to bring it up. Can people start? Are you starting to see the light now? Everything that I've said,
they're on in here.
Everything
yeah.
that I've been saying about Daniel Jones is. I mean, I've known it's been correct for a long time. But are we starting to understand now? Are we starting to see the greatness of this kid? And that the fact that the reality here is that this past week against the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz, and put the two teams aside for a minute in a head-to-head matchup, neither quarterback had a turnover. Daniel Jones got the job done against Carson Wentz. And I think there's an argument out there that, and I've said it since then, I think he's the best quarterback in the NFC East, and you can laugh about, oh, the NFC East stinks. Fair enough, the records aren't great, I get that. But I'm talking about overall in the future of organizations. I think the Giants' future at quarterback is much brighter than anybody else in that division. And I would argue they're one of the, I think, at the quarterback position in the whole in the NFL, he's got to be top 5-6 in terms of what the future brings for this football team. I think he's there. Not top 5-6 right now in terms of play, but if you're talking about future of organizations and players, I think you need to start recognizing that Daniel Jones is legit. And I think that a lot of people out there, in the media, New York included, have been beating this kid down for the whole time he's been there. They laughed at the Giants when they drafted him. But I'm telling you right now, you protect this guy, you put talented players around him, he's going to be elite. And I think we've seen some big steps. I thought we saw it 2 weeks ago against Washington. I think we've seen steps all year, to be honest with you. But I think the big step was taken last week. Every time he had to have a drive put together, he did it, and he did it easily. He's going to be one of the best in the league.
I think it says a lot about Daniel Jones as a young quarterback that the moment he gets even like a modicum of support in the run game and in protection, he looks like a significantly less risky quarterback. He makes the throws. He doesn't make mistakes when he's not forced to try and save plays.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about them when it comes to the Giants. And I mean, he's been on the last couple of years on a terrible offensive line with what a lot of people would deem as a zero ability to run the football. Now, the offensive line's played a little bit better the last couple of weeks, and they've been able to move the football a little bit. He's had limited ability with players on the outside. I mean, obviously, Sterling Shepard hasn't played a lot of snaps, and I'm not sure he's an elite wide receiver. Golden Tate is a good wide receiver, but he hasn't stayed on the field, and he's not a difference-making wide receiver. He's more of a possession wide receiver.
He's past his prime, too.
Yeah, sure. They've got a breakaway kid in Slayton, but we're not sure who he is yet, and Ingram has been a disappointment. And so this guy, for the last 2 years, has had to do everything on his own. Let's bring somebody and talk about this. Maybe he'll agree with me.
What do we got?
The birthday boy joining us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line is the, I don't know if I'm saying this right now, the paunch to your John, the Chewbacca to your Han Solo, Alex Abrami. Good morning, Alex. What's happening, my boy?
Good morning. And if you could see my smile right now after hearing your case for Daniel Jones being elite.
But am I wrong? I mean, let me just say something. I didn't say he's elite right now. Okay, I understand what when we think of elite, we're thinking of, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Breeses, I get all that. But when you think about what this kid has had to do the last 2 years, he's been the quarterback of the New York Giants, and you look at the future that I believe he's going to bring to the New York Giants, I don't know what all the quote-unquote experts have been watching. I mean, let's be honest, Alex. You and I talk Giants when you're on, and Austin will get in here as well, I'm sure. But I mean, this is a very flawed football team. And the only thing that's made this football team relevant the last 2 years is Daniel Jones. And the reason I think you're seeing so many mistakes out of the kid is, look, you know, he's young, you're going to make mistakes. But a lot of his turnovers are because he has got to make plays because the defense hasn't been very good, or because his guys are having a hard time getting open. He's trying to win football games.
I need to jump in.
Go ahead.
Like, I get that he's projecting positively. The last month for the Giants is the best month they've had in years. But can we pump the brakes a little bit when the guy has won 6 games as a starting quarterback and 4 of them are against the Washington Redskins?
You can pump the brakes all you want in terms of wins, but I'm talking about what I'm seeing in terms of the player.
And I'm
Austin.
Saying, like, you need, like, ultimately results are what matters.
I understand that, but I think what I'm saying is, I'm not saying this guy's one of the, you know, he's not there yet, but when you look at the talent, I think he gets a bad rap because I think there is so much negative press around him, and I read it every week in the New York tabloids. I mean, they get on him every single week.
I think you got to stop reading the New York tabloids.
I don't read them. Well, I do this show. I got to keep up on things. I got to see what's going on. But the reality is, I think he has the ability to run. He has a tremendous arm. He's very smart. He can make every throw. I think the future is so bright with him. If they really do protect him and get him some talent, he can be elite. He's going to be unbelievable.
Alex, where do you, like, are you as, you know, drunk on the Kool-Aid as Jeff with this? I mean, I know after the big triumphant Sunday you had last week, you on Twitter, you declared the Giants the best 3-7 team in NFL history.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was said in jest, but or written in jest, but I think I'm with Jeff on the Daniel Jones is trending in the right direction. I think the Giants have their quarterback of the future.
No question.
It's just a question of can they have the right pieces around him to succeed. Because the big thing is he still turns the ball. Like, he went two straight games without a turnover for the first time in his career.
It's a streak. And
his turnovers, I hear you.
He has a problem holding on to the ball.
No, he doesn't. I mean, look, he
can't. How many quarterbacks give up scoop and scores? Like, he has to lead the league in that.
When's the last time they had a scoop and score last year against the Jets? But I mean, again, this is a kid that's trying to make plays. I mean, Lamar Jackson led the league in fumbles his first year, and Lamar Jackson's on a really good football team. If you put Daniel Jones, and I'm going to stand by this, I think we put too much emphasis on his turnovers because the turnovers are based on having to score a lot of points, having to throw to guys that aren't running the right routes. I mean, how many guys have dropped balls for him? How many balls have come off guys' hands and been intercepted? To me, he has tried to carry this football team by himself. And I think that we're losing the point of, yeah, the turnovers. I mean, yeah, some of the turnovers are bad, but all quarterbacks turn the football over at times. But I think if you look at his overall body of work and what he brings to the table, how you can't think the sky's the limit with this guy is nuts to me. And I think
I do. I just think he still has to get that under control. Yeah, he's trying to win at all costs. He's trying to make plays. You saw that against Tampa Bay when he had two of the worst picks of the season.
Yep.
And he never should have thrown those balls.
Yep.
But yes, he's trying to make plays. He doesn't have Barkley in the backfield. And frankly, he hasn't really had Barkley
at all
behind him all throughout his career because he messed up his ankle last year and missed some time and never wasn't really healthy until the end of the year. And then he tears his ACL in the second week. And to your point about the receivers, same thing. They haven't had their best weapons on the field altogether except for the first week plus of this season. So yeah, he hasn't had the weapons around him and they're not even that great. They're second tier receivers. Yeah, they're good, but they're not, there's no number one out there. Maybe Slayton is
eventually,
at some point, but
right. He's
still only a fifth round pick
and not healthy right now either.
And not healthy, but he is a pretty good receiver. He's just, great. He's not, there's no DeAndre Hopkins on this team. So, they're limited in that respect, but Jones's ceiling is really high, and I think it's crazy when you look back when he was drafted. Everyone mocked the pick, and people still mock him because he runs 80 yards and falls down before he reaches the end zone.
Oh my God! See, but that's the problem. Guys like you come out and say stuff like that. That's the point. They only highlight the little mistakes he makes periodically. Yes, he fell down. Fair enough. But the point is, he has the ability to make every single throw. He's proven that. He can run the football. He's proven that. He can control a game. He's proven that. He can be a game manager if you need him to be. He's proven that. The point is, like, we got to stop talking about the little mistakes here and there and look at the overall picture. And that's where I'm saying. That's why I'm so fired up about this, because I think he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. When they finally protect him and give him some weapons, he's going to be unbelievable. I'm telling you.
The play where he fell down was actually a great play. He hit like 22 miles an hour as a quarterback who's known for throwing out of the pocket. That's pretty impressive. I want to ask, so
the 15-yard line tripped him up? I mean, that happens.
He went faster than he can sustain was the problem. He needs to slow it down a little bit once he breaks away and just, you know, accept that he's not quite
fast. Do a little Neon Deion, little high kick it in there on the 15-yard line.
I have a question. So we've talked last couple of weeks about moving Saquon's the remainder of his rookie contract for pieces, since there's been success using Gallman in more of a committee back sort of situation. How do you feel about moving the guy who's sort of been, you know, the star athlete on the team and trying to get something back and maybe get a receiver for Daniel Jones, somebody, because, you know, like you said, there is no Hopkins on this team.
I would be open to that because I think as much as Giants fans, you love the Saquon's ability to break an 80-yard touchdown run at any moment. It's proven in the NFL you don't need a star running back. You don't need to pay him a lot to be successful. And they've somehow gotten back into the woeful NFC East race without him, and by basically using secondary type running backs. I mean, Alfred Morris was a star 7 years ago for Washington, and now he's getting the second most carries on the team after he was elevated from the practice squad. So you don't need a star running back to succeed in the NFL, and if they find the right trade, why not? They can win without him.
I'm just concerned that I have two of the biggest Giants fans I know, two of the guys most thirsty for a quality quarterback in the Meadowlands, that are the guys that are, telling me Daniel Jones is the next best thing coming down the pike. I'm not sure if, as thirsty as you two are to have that it makes you reliable narrators here. I just don't know.
I will just say, if you don't watch Giant football, then maybe you can't recognize it if all you're watching are highlights or you're not catching it. But watching this kid play, and I watch every game, every quarter, every minute, I don't know how you can't love the pick and that you can't love the future. I don't know how you can't. And don't count him out the rest of the season. I mean, I think that there's a really good opportunity for this football team now, and we'll see where it goes. But we do have another call calling in. Hey, so Alex, we'll let you go. But hey, man, happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. I'll leave it. He's a mobile Eli.
Now, please spare me the mobile Eli. Daniel Jones has more skill sets than Eli Manning does.
Mobility is one of them.
Yeah, mobility is one of them. His arm is another one of them. There's a lot of things Daniel Jones is better. But thank you hey, man, thanks for calling in today, and happy birthday. Enjoy it.
Happy birthday.
All right, another call. Steve M. is online. Good morning, Steve. What's happening?
Hey, what do you say, fellas? Love the opportunity to come in and chat with you about Daniel Jones. And I'll tell you this. You can't jump on Daniel Jones' bandwagon fast enough. That's what I'll tell you. I saw him last year play live, first couple games. And look at Josh Allen. I'm going to say two stories I'd like to share quickly, and I'll let you move on. Sure. I'm all in on the Giants. It's all about developmental football. Nobody has talked about the coaching. We can talk a little bit about that. And when you take Golden Tate and you sit him down and say, listen, you want to play ball? You play ball here. You want to have complaints? You complain inside the locker room. If you want to take it out public, you know what? The Jets are looking for wide receivers. You snap it down. And it's an offensive line move now. All right? You see what's happening there. So it's developmental football. And you get somebody like Daniel Jones, who is athletic as heck. Did you guys know that when Dwayne Haskins got passed over, according to him, when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones, he went out on social media and told the Giants that he's going to make them pay? And you know what happened when Daniel Jones face got plastered up on Yankee Stadium when the Giants drafted him?
Unbelievable.
All right? They booed.
Yeah, I
they
know.
Booed.
It's crazy.
And did you hear a thing out of Daniel Jones? Duke, smart, athletic, strong, going to run like Josh Allen. He just said, I come from a day when a quarterback, drafted quarterbacks, sat for a year or two. He didn't sit for 2 months. And you know what? You watch Daniel Jones, and you watch his development, and he is definitely, he is the Josh Allen style quarterback in a world of Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa quarterbacks. So we're seeing a change in the quarterbacks. They're evolving now into this different kind of game. Daniel Jones, all in. I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Steve, for the call. Great call, and he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And that's the point. Is Daniel Jones has gotten so much, and I know we have to take a break here, but Daniel Jones has gotten so much negative publicity through this whole process that the quarterback of the New York Giants, and Steve, that was a great point, goes to throw the first pitch out of the Yankee game, and Yankee Stadium boos him. I mean, there's so much egg on these quote-unquote, these experts' faces about quarterbacks and players. If you watch this kid play on a daily basis and you watch all of his skill sets, there is no way you can't look at him and say, this is the next great thing coming. I mean, it may not be. We'll see. But the potential there is there to be the next great quarterback, and it just so happens he plays in the Meadowlands for the Giants.
That was something I was very impressed by, and we talked about it that year, was when he came out, New York, the team he was playing for, their fan base immediately crushed him.
Well, you know why that happens, though.
The New York media wants to win.
No, because you watch television and you watch guys that are quote unquote the experts tell you. The ESPN, the guys on the panel were laughing at it. They fell off their chairs when they came out.
Like all that was, it came down to when he was projected to go, when they could have gotten him with their second pick. And so, reaching for him at six.
I guarantee you that he would not have been there with their second pick. I promise you.
They weren't talking about him being a top half of the first round.
But the point is, regardless of where they're talking about him and where it happens, and you have commentators laughing at, like literally laughing and falling off day. I mean, that's just so you have people, you have thousands of people, millions of people that watch that and think, oh, what a terrible pick. The Giants are stupid. Gettleman doesn't know what he's doing. This kid's going to stink. And you're booing him. Well, you know what? You got egg on your face now because he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And if you don't think he's going to be, just watch what happens the next 2-3 years. If he stays healthy and the team builds around him, and I think what Steve also said about the coaching, I think that means a lot. I think Judge has done a great job in New York so far. This is an up-and-coming team, and this is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league, mark my words. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, some bad news and some sad news in New York this week, though, as well. We turn to baseball. As Robinson Cano is suspended again for PEDs, we're going to talk about that. Don't go anywhere.
The high school coach and the high school reporter who comments on that coach. How do they do a show together? It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
Spirited conversation this morning. We're talking a little bit about our favorite sports movies. And keep them coming in here on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. And talk a little about Daniel Jones. So far, I've been absolutely right about Daniel Jones. I just want to put that out there again, Austin, if I can. I've been absolutely right. Again.
Okay. Keep it up.
It's so hard for you guys to admit, even to give me a little something. Just a little something. Like, you know what, Jeff? You know what? I'm starting. You know, you might be right on that.
I've agreed with you on Daniel Jones.
Okay, thank you.
I might not be as far down the road.
Don't try to butter me up because you ruined the football league.
I'm not as far down the road as you with Jones. I don't know as I'm calling him top five quarterback right now.
Or not like, right now.
No, for the future. Like right now, I don't know as I see him in the future being a top five quarterback, but I see him being a starter and being good.
Well, he's a starter and good right now, so he's already there in your book.
It's tough to crack that top five.
He's going to be there.
You know, like that's the thing. Like there's a lot of quarterbacks that come and go, and it's really hard to get in that top five.
There's a gap between the top five and the rest of the league. Usually those guys are different.
He's coming. I'm just telling you. I can't wait. I got the jersey at home too. Can you believe I even bought a jersey? All right, 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join us today. 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday. Thanks for joining us this morning. So, hey, some sad news this week. I mean, you know, foolish for the player, but, you know, sad. A guy that's been a big-time player in Major League Baseball, Robinson Cano, was a New York Met last year, tested positive. My vocabulary is not big enough to pronounce this. It's Stanzolol. Stanzolol or something. Anyway, you shouldn't be taking that if you're a Major League Baseball player. And his season now, he's been suspended. Just an unfortunate situation for Robbie Cano. And I think the reason I bring this up today is I think when I talk about, we used to talk about this about with Alex Rodriguez when Bernie was doing the show. We used to talk about Alex Rodriguez and his PED issues and what he went through. You know, I think contracts, major contracts, you know, make good people do bad things. You know, it's so difficult to live up to these 9-10 year deals that are worth all this money and you get the pressure. But I think the biggest mistake that Robinson Cano made, and I really believe this is when he left the Yankees. You know, one of the things that I think was so appealing to Robbie, for Robbie, was that, you know, he obviously a born and bred Yankee. You know, he was developed by the system, gets brought up. People were already grooming him to be the next Derek Jeter. I mean, Jeter was getting ready to retire. Robbie was going to step into that position. And the Yankees, when it came time to sign him, and, you know, Robbie was at that time of his career was arguably one of the best 2-3 hitters in baseball, power threat. Yankee Stadium was built for him, you know, with the short right field porch. Decides to take, I think the Yankees, I guess he took a couple, I don't remember, I don't have the contract in front of me, and I probably should doing a radio show, but I think he took a couple extra years and some more money to go to Seattle, where I think what's interesting is this first year in Seattle, he hit over 300, hit almost 30 home runs and drove in 100 RBIs and wasn't even in contention for the MVP. I mean, if he was a Yankee that year, I was joking about on the radio that year, he would have been a front runner to be the MVP. And, you know, it's interesting, these guys. I think my point being is the biggest mistake I think he's made was leaving New York. And I don't know if he was doing PEDs as a Yankee. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. He got suspended the first time as a Mariner. And you almost feel like he got to a point in his career probably where he was starting to age and break down a little bit. And these guys make these decisions to try to prolong their career and live up to that contract. But you wonder if you stayed in New York, he would have been beloved. You know what? You know, if you're a Yankee or you're a Red Sox or you're a Dodger or you're a Cub, you're iconic. But when you go play, and there's nothing wrong with playing for the Seattle Mariners, no problem at all, but nobody's paying attention in Major League in baseball. You're not on those. You're not on at 7 o'clock at night on a Thursday night. And you're not playing in New York. And so him leaving was probably the first big failure of his decisions in his career, number one, if you're going to look at his career and say it's, you know, with the unfortunate things that have happened to him. And now getting this, it's unfortunate for a guy that had the potential of, and people were talking about this could be one of the greatest hitters of all time, one of the sweetest swings in baseball. I mean, they were comparing his swing to Ken Griffey Jr.'s when he was in his prime. Mm. So, you know, it's sad to see how far he's fallen, but I think a lot of this will stem from, and I think when he looks back, leaving the Yankees is going to be a major problem for him going forward.
Yeah, I think it is funny when guys change scenery and then feel like they have something to prove. And you could say, okay, maybe he didn't end up being a legend of the game like some thought he could have been, or like one of the real greats. He made the move partly for the money, or mostly for the money.
Probably
potentially
all for the money, yeah.
And you could say, well, he got paid, but if you're getting suspended for a season and a half for PEDs, you're actually not getting paid for those years.
Exactly.
And yeah, like you could look at it almost like he would have given back that extra money he tried to reap with the contract that, you know, wasn't what the Yankees were giving him. And yeah, like it's funny how that stuff plays out. Like you wonder how many guys go about things the way he did with PEDs and don't get caught.
Sure.
Like it just makes you think.
But you just also wonder if, you know, would he have been. Yeah, you just sometimes I always wondered some of these guys when it comes to the money. Like the Yankees didn't offer him peanuts, and the Yankee contract was a good contract. It was a big contract. I think the Yankees weren't going to go, and we knew this. The Yankees were not going to go. And this is what I talk about with the Aaron Judge thing that's going to be coming up in another year or so. The Yankees are not going to make. They're not going to sign. They're not going to go 8, 9, 10 year contracts on field play. They're just not going to do it. Yeah. They're not going to make that same mistake they made with Alex Rodriguez. They're not going to make that mistake. And so the fact is, you wonder if when you can be a. I mean, I would even argue, minus the PED stuff, if Robinson Cano stayed in New York, they'd probably be talking, minus the PED stuff, if that didn't happen, and maybe it would have when he was in New York, I don't know that. But they'd be talking about him for the Hall of Fame if he stayed in New York, because he would have been an iconic Yankee. Like, you do, there are certain organizations.
There's that Yankee bump.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say the same thing. There's a Red Sox bump. There's a Cub bump. There's a Dodger bump. That's just the way it is.
Like, the level of greatness you have to achieve in one of those non-marquee markets is so much, like, it's that extra bit higher that makes it so much harder to attain. I'm also hearing, like, as you talk about it, it's kind of like if you think about someone like you may have dated in the past and you really liked them and it didn't work out, and then their life turned out in a really weird way, and you're like, I wonder if it would have been like that if they'd have stayed with, like, that sort of thing. You're like, oh.
Doug from Milton on the Town Fair text line just said, the Yankees offered Cano, and thanks for bringing us on, Doug. We appreciate it. The Yankees offered Cano the same money for that Jacoby Ellsbury took. I believe it was 6 years and $175 million. He signed for 10 years, $220 or $240 million. So, again, I mean, okay, that is a lot more money. But there's got to be something about being an iconic Yankee. I mean, that to me would trump the, and I mean, and I'm not saying because I'm a Yankee fan, I just mean this. If I was a Red Sox, the way I look at Robbie Cano was, Jeter was on his way out. We know the Yankee organization and fans love the quote-unquote captain or the leader of your
El Capitan.
Oh, that's right. You love
Robinson
Cano,
don't you know?
And he was on the way to being that guy.
Yeah.
And you wonder, a guy getting ready to, you know, being in his prime, they were going to build around him.
He would have bridged that gap a little more.
No question. And the truth is, for the Yankees, they, to their credit, I mean, they stuck to their guns with Robbie Cano, and I think they saw the writing on the wall a little bit. But, you know, for Robbie Cano to make that decision, you know, I always wondered it because I knew how much Robbie Cano's dad loved the fact that he was a Yankee. I mean, that was chronicled. I promise you that this was not the decision that his father wanted for him. But you just wonder what would have changed for Robinson Cano and how he was portrayed and what he was looked like in baseball. I mean, you kind of forgot about Robbie Cano when he went to Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And my point being, I think his first or second year in Seattle, his numbers were unbelievable. We were actually talking about it on
the
show.
Right.
And he wasn't even in line for an MVP.
No, he was the forgotten MVP candidate.
The forgotten MVP candidate. And that's Robinson Cano. And that to me, was it's really sad to see the way it's happened. And obviously, you know, like my point about, you know, good people make bad decisions. You know, when you're making all that money and you're scrutinized all the time, you know, sometimes you do things that you and I might, all of us listening to the show might think, I would never do that until you live your life in those shoes and all that expectation. Sometimes these guys make character decisions that are unfortunate. And for Robinson Cano, this is one of those times.
And when there's that much money at stake, even the people in your inner circle, if you don't have the right caliber of people, they might be more like, they might turn into yes men when saying yes can like lead to good things for you too.
It really
permeates like that.
Kevin from Burlington just said maybe he didn't like playing in New York with all the pressure. Not everyone likes to play in big cities. Some people just want to come play and pick up the big check. You might be right. But being someone that follows the Yankees and know Robinson Cano was a big time player. He loved being a New York Yankee. I mean, to me this was a decision that was based on Robinson Cano probably felt that I'm one of the two or three best players in baseball and the Yankees are lowballing me and I'm gonna take the money and go somewhere else. But I think if he could do it all over again, he would have stayed in the Bronx and he would have been an iconic player. No question about it. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, it's out in left field time. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
All right. When the X-File starts going, you know it's something crazy. Aaron, what do you got today, pal?
Returned library book could be up to 100 years overdue. officials at non...
Sponsor?
Sponsor.
Oh, that's right. Wrong
segment.
That's
wrong segment. Like, oh, that's 45 my fault. Minutes ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's my fault. My
I was
fault.
Thinking
my
that
fault.
Too. I was like, well, oh, wait,
we were getting ready for it. Okay, my fault. Okay, continue. Go ahead.
The intros are similar. You throw to
no,
me.
That's
just, so
that, again, that's
I get
I'll,
it.
I'll own the mistake on that one. My fault.
officials at Ontario. Oh my. Well, you know, we both screwed up this. That didn't take long. It's not even. It's a word I know. I just.
Well, let me start with this. Anybody want to sponsor this segment out there? Give me a buzz. You know, give us a buzz here. We'll, you know, it's very cheap.
Maybe the sponsor is called Aaron Doesn't Know How to Read. It's very fun. Everyone loves it.
Go ahead, man.
Officials at an Ontario library said a book recently dropped into the return bin is believed to be up to 100 years overdue. The Fergus Library said a copy of Martin Chuzzlewit by Charles Dickens was recently dropped into the book return by an anonymous person. Library officials say they don't have any records of the book, but it bears a Fergus Library nameplate inside the cover, indicating it might have been from the facility's original collection when it opened in the 1900s.
That's Ooh. Unbelievable. This is cool.
They're guessing it's between 150 years old. Between 50 and 100 is a better way to read it, so it doesn't...
Yeah, there you go.
They wrote it the other way, old. But that sounds... But they estimate 1940 because the book says 2 cents a day, which was the going rate at the time. So they're estimating 80 years old. That's 80 amazing. Years overdue.
Well, like it was better late than never.
And what? If it had been checked out in 1941, when they estimate, it would have accrued late fees of about $580.
This is like that Seinfeld
episode.
Are
they just happy to have the book back, though?
Yeah, they're not going
to. Oh, that's got to be. You got to put that in a frame or something.
They're putting it on display.
Yeah, you have to.
And officials have no intention of trying to find the person who returned the book to charge fees.
You know what they should do is they should. I'd like to know who had it, number one. Number two, they should say, look, we're not going to charge you. We just want to know like where it came from. Get a story behind it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to charge you for the book. I mean, but you brought like, it back. It's fine.
Yeah, like it's a Good Samaritan thing to ultimately bring it back.
I would love to know the storyline behind that.
How cool would it be if, like, if you know, traffic violations and like Easy Pass violations worked like that, where you bring it in like decades later and you never paid it, and they're like, "Thank you for being so upright about this." This is really nice of you.
They frame it on the wall.
But don't you think there must be some kind of storyline behind that? I mean, seriously, somebody's bringing it back in 2020. I would love to know the storyline. Maybe it was found in a house. Maybe it was somebody, you know. I mean, I would love
I'm
to
sure
know the story behind that.
I'm sure someone took it out, forgot to bring it back, moved, died, people moved in, found it, cleaned it
or
out.
Or whatever
oh, wow.
it is, yeah.
Like bring it, yeah. I mean, the only book I never brought back was completely unintentional. Like, it was the end of, like, seventh
grade.
You might
want to keep this down.
No, it was a copy of The Giver, like, back in, like, seventh grade. I think it was, like, the last book we read in English class. And I read it, like, I just... forgot it and like realized like 3 years later I still had it. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I once had to pay a fee because I lost a school library book. I took it out for a class, lost it, had to pay for the full price of the book because I never found it. It sucked.
I used to I remember, and I'm a little older than you guys, but I can remember going to the library and taking books out was just the biggest thing back in the day.
It was fun.
I had my own little library. I remember listening to it. It would go, like the thing would click, you know, it would take the book out. Oh, man, those were the days. But anyway, I would love to know where it, I'm a history buff, so I'd love to know what the story was behind that. So they should put out, look, we're not going to charge you. We just want to know the story.
Dean Essex makes a really funny point. I feel bad for people who are waiting to check it out after them.
Well, it's there now.
80 years later, feel free to go to the Fergus Library and pick it up.
All right, sports update time.
Put 101.3 The Game in your car presets. Right now.
We mean it.
It's WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. 101.3 The Game. The Game. Trending now.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Aaron Wells with your 101.3 The Game sports update. In Celtics news, Gordon Hayward has decided to opt out of his $34 million player option to become a free agent. He reportedly wishes to join the Indiana Pacers. As always, we've got college football for you on the station today. Indiana plays Ohio State. They kick off at noon, and we've got that coverage for you right after Sports Saturday. The Patriots are in Houston to play the Texans. That game kicks off tomorrow at 1, and you can find the coverage for that game starting with the pregame show at 10 right here on 101.3 The Game as well. Now it's time for Sports Saturday. We are living the dream and taking you with us on 101.3 The Game on your Amazon Echo, on the Game app, and Twitch.tv. All details at 101.3thegame.com.
101.3 The Game. Bringing you another day closer to game day. It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. I am Jeff Paul, Austin Danforth, and our guy Aaron Wells with you this morning here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. And you can watch us on Twitch television. Aaron, tell them how they can do that.
Twitch.tv/101.3thegame.
There you go. Well done, anyway. So I thought this week I was scrolling through the 101.3 The Game Facebook page. I'm actually an administrator of that page, so I get to see all of them.
They gave you the keys to the Facebook kingdom?
I don't think they know it. A long time ago, back in the day, when Ryan Matlack was the boss here, he gave me that. I'm in there. I don't post anything.
Seems like a decision they might want to have back.
Well, maybe they after me announcing it, they might be taking it away from me. But anyway, in the time being, I noticed this week that TJ Michaels, part of the huddle, posted about the hall. We're going into the 2021 Hall of Fame class in baseball. As we know, the 2020 class never was inducted this year because of COVID, and hopefully it'll happen this year. But there'll be another class coming out this year. And his question was on Facebook, which I thought was pretty good, was which Red Sox has a chance to get in this time? And he had Curt Schilling, a picture of Curt Schilling, and Roger Clemens, and Manny Ramirez. And I thought this was going to be kind of interesting. We could have a little conversation about this, and feel free to join us, like I said, if you'd like. And I think all three of them deserve to be in. And I've always said that, you know, the steroid era was an era in baseball that, you know, that was accepted for a long time, right, wrong, or indifferent. And the Hall of Fame is full of people that have either cheated at something or may not have been the best person in their life. But when you look at what they meant to the game of baseball, I think they deserve to be in there. I think Roger Clemens deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think Manny Ramirez deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think Barry Bonds deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think Alex Rodriguez deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling, I'd have to look at his numbers. But in terms of the guys that are being left out because of the steroid situation, I think what needs to be done with them, I think they need to be let in. But I think there just needs to be, but I think it needs to be known in there that, look, this is the era they played in. This is what, if they were proven to do it. I mean, I'm not sure that Barry Bonds even been? I think people know he did steroids, but I don't think he's ever been
I don't think they ever officially
told him that he did it. So in the same, I'm not sure Roger Clemens did either. Right? I'm not sure if Roger Clemens was proven definitely that he took steroids or whatever the point is. I just feel like there comes a point in time, and I'm going to translate this into something else in a second, but I want to get your opinion on it, Austin. That baseball is baseball in the era that they played in, whether they did steroids or not, was an important era for baseball because it really brought baseball back. The Mark McGwires and the Sammy Sosas brought baseball back to fruition. Because if you remember, 1994, was it, or 3, was it when they had the strike?
94.
94, which almost destroyed the game. And if it wasn't for the power that baseball came back with And especially that story. I mean, I feel bad for the Roger Maris losing his record to Sosa and McGuire. Obviously, I'm not even sure. McGuire is obviously they found the stuff that he was taking.
Yeah.
But the point is that it brought the game back. It got people excited again. And whether you like it or not, I think when we're talking about the Hall of Fame, it's about either the best players or the most influential people in baseball. And I think these players were those people during that era.
Yeah, it just says everything about the era. And when you have to reconcile an era that's problematic for the reasons we know with PED usage and the league's unwillingness to tamp down on that, to snuff that out, to be transparent about it, puts you in this position where the gatekeepers to the Hall of Fame, who are the Baseball Writers of America, they're like part of the Hall of Fame candidacy stuff is, you know, character. And it's like, for better or worse, like, and granted, yes, there are guys from way back that have severe like character flaws as humans and like that, but that was back when they were put in, back when those flaws weren't really looked at in such scrutinous light. There's nothing that says all the best players have to be in there like that. Like it's the purpose, but it doesn't say they have to because they have the best stats or whatever. I think like off the field stuff aside, like I think honestly, I think Schilling of that whole slew of names you just mentioned is the one guy that people look at his resume and like the regular season stuff, they don't think quite measures up to Hall of Fame caliber, but him in the biggest games in the postseason, he was a next level, like Hall of Fame level pitcher. So you take a guy that was in, they say, you know, not the Hall of very good. He was very good in the regular season for a long time. And then was a Hall of Fame, like next level Hall of Fame caliber guy in the postseason, 3 World Series. Like I think he of that crew has the clearest case to be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't understand how you, and I hear you and I see your point, but I don't know how you can talk about the era that these guys played in. The Alex Rodriguez's, the Barry Bonds, the Mark McGuire's, the Manny Ramirez. I mean, are we going to keep Ortiz out? But they shouldn't be out though. That's the point. I mean, to me, the era is the era. You make sure, you know, people know it. You know, and what I want to phase to is like the Pete Rose thing. And we talk about Pete Rose a lot here because I think the fact that he's not in this yet is an atrocious thing.
Well, and you know what sets him apart is a lot of these guys, you know, you can argue like maybe a guy like Barry Bonds would have made it on merit without the steroids and guys like that.
McGuire,
too. But Rose, there's no realistic argument against the merit of his play when it comes to getting into the Hall of Fame.
Major League Baseball right now is branding gambling sites with their product. DraftKings.com is a part of the baseball marketing brand. Pete Rose has done his time. Okay? He's done his time.
And there's no, he makes it on merit. His play was by far good enough to make it on merit, regardless of what he did outside of playing the sport.
Scott from Burlington said Schilling definitely didn't take steroids. Now, we know that. We're not comparing Schilling. Schilling is just part of this group that TJ had put up with a picture of Manny and a picture of Roger, and that's where he gets bumped into this. So we understand that.
So I think to go to Aaron's point briefly, actually, I'll go back to your point, Jeff.
Okay.
I think that the era itself, like, to disregard that, or, like, I feel like you present that with a semblance of, like, because they did it, regardless of their era, because they were the best players in whatever era they were in, they are entitled to be in the Hall of Fame as a marker of baseball history. And I don't think the entitlement necessarily levels with the fact that they have been proven to have done things that, you know, cast a shadow on their legacy.
In the 70s, we had some of the best players taking amphetamines. We have guys. 80s,
there was a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, the amphetamine piece was used because it was helping them recover from the next day. So we have Hall of Fame that's full of unbelievable players that were doing something, putting some type of substance, which is an illegal substance, into their bodies to get them either better or get them back on the field. My point is that it's part of it's a part of baseball that you can't erase. Now, what I would agree with you in is that, say, the home run championship that Mark, who has it now, Barry Bonds has.
Yep.
If it's proven he took steroids, and he shouldn't own it. You know, Mark McGwire shouldn't have gone past Roger Maris. He shouldn't have gone past them. But in terms of the Hall of Fame and what it means about the best, so their records, I think, should be scrapped. I agree that if you are proven that you've done something, you've used illegal substance, and that's helped you get a record, that's something that, you know, like Roger Maris's home run record lasted forever. I mean, it was a long time. That was a big deal.
Generation,
you know,
plus, yeah.
Exactly. If somebody is ever to break Cal Ripken's, you know, continuous game mark, and it was and whoever, I don't think that'll ever, that the way they play baseball, and that's never gonna be broken. But if it ever was, and it was turned out that somebody did something illegal to do it, you shouldn't get the award. You shouldn't have that record. But in terms of what they meant to the game of baseball and what they were to the game of baseball during their era, how you leave them out, and the same thing with Pete Rose. Like the Pete Rose thing, I mean, and we've had big time sports writers, baseball writers on here that have gotten yelled at me. I mean, I had Buster Olney basically shut me down at a Q&A thing they had at downtown before the COVID in the winter last year.
Right.
He basically yelled at me, you know, for asking the question about Pete Rose. These guys are like, he's not getting in. And to me, I'm thinking, how can you be a hypocrite like that? It's been how many years since this has happened? He's done his time. Baseball is now branding betting sites all over everything. They sponsor things.
Yeah, that's so tough to level.
You got
to
let him in.
I think you have to put Rose in a different category. Like
very true.
Like, but to say that, you know, what some of these guys during the PED era meant to the game.
Yeah.
And if we were to do that by at the same time also stripping some of their records and not mentioning their statistics, then you're just saying they're great and not showing it through the evidence.
No, I don't think you
take
away.
If you're throwing out the evidence, then it's just believe us because we were there and we saw it.
Well, I mean,
and it would be the only era you could do you would do that for. So why are we putting people in the Hall of Fame in the first place if we're like the Hall of Fame thing with baseball, just it's so tricky, and I think
what I'm saying is that I just think they deserve to be in. I think that Manny Ramirez needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I think David Ortiz needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I think Alex Rodriguez needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
And I guess I come down on they don't deserve anything.
But they were the best players of that era.
The deserving suggests that they are entitled to be in it because they were the best. And I don't think they're entitled to it. Like, I think if the people that keep the gates to the Hall of Fame want to make it about that, then that's within their right and their power to do it.
And that's true. And that's what's happening. And they're not going to get in. And I think a perfect example of them never getting in is just what you see with Pete Rose. Because if they're not going to let Pete Rose in, and they don't like Pete Rose. I mean, Pete Rose has obviously been very aggressive with them. But
all those guys that you think are deserving of a spot in the Hall of Fame, they got their money and they got their fame, and they're not going to get. They may well not get the legacy, and that's the choice they made.
Fair enough. But I think at the end of the day, there's a way to put them. It's that era of baseball, still that era of baseball.
I think
so
that
the point is that in these guys, and you can get mad about the steroids all you want, if you love the game of baseball, rebuilt the brand. They rebuilt the brand, and again, it's a tough thing to say, but yeah. And again, would the Red Sox have won in 2004 if Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz weren't taking steroids? There's a question there that said maybe not. Maybe David Ortiz wouldn't be the big poppy if he didn't take steroids. And I don't, you know, and that's reality. When David Ortiz signed with the Boston Red Sox, it wasn't like David Ortiz was a 19 or 20-year-old kid coming up from the minors. David Ortiz was an established baseball player that played in a place called the Homer Dome in Minnesota and averaged like in the teens home runs a year. He was an afterthought signing by the Red Sox, an afterthought. And in a matter of 6 or 7 months when he plays with Manny Ramirez, he becomes Big Poppy. He becomes the iconic player that he is. Why is that? Now, you know, what do you want? I'm not making any assumptions. I'm just saying. He's Big Poppy. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I promise you that. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, those guys, whether you like it or not, saved the game of baseball. And during that era of baseball, I mean, Gaylord Perry is in the Hall of Fame known, and all he did was cheat with his pitching. That's all he did. He wrote a book about cheating at throwing the baseball. So the point is, to me, is I hear what you're saying, and I'm not sure what the right answer is, whether you take away their stats. I mean, I think you got to keep the stats. But that era, you know, you put on their plaque, you know? I mean, you could put on it. Assumption of, I don't know how you write it, assumption of PED use, or, you know, however you want to write it. You put it in an area that, you know, the whatever, the 90s or the early 2000s, the situations are going on. But to me, they deserve to be in it because what they've meant to baseball. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, A-Rod, Big Poppy, Barry Bonds meant to baseball during that era is everything. I mean, if without him, you wouldn't have had it. And then you throw Ken Griffey Jr.
Kevin in Burlington makes a very interesting point that the steroids era sold some seats, and the MLB was happy to take money.
Hell yeah.
The MLB let itself juke the stats to get people to get butts in seats. So, like,
of course.
Like, a lot of this comes down to the situation that baseball put itself in, which is rebuilding itself on a shoddy foundation.
No question. But again, I'm just saying, in terms of, and I mean, this isn't the laurels or the ethics of what Major League Baseball did during this era, but to me, when we're talking about the Hall of Fame, what is the Hall of Fame? I mean, those guys deserve to be in it. They just do. And I will say this till the end of time. And Pete Rose, I mean, free Pete Rose, please, somebody. I mean, somebody be the voice of reason out there that says that actually has a voice that can get this done. Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Made a horrible decision. He's done his time. Let him in the Hall of Fame.
And I guess to your point, it's called the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Integrity.
No question.
But they made it the Hall of Integrity at the same time.
That's
over
actually
years.
So you talked about the rights of the Writers Association to be the gatekeepers. I do think not questioning those rights at times is a little bit of a dangerous precedent because they are fallible people.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course, yeah. And you can get that sort of toxic groupthink as well. Yeah.
I just think it's unfortunate. And again, you know, to get away from this Sarah thing, before we go to break, and we have to go pretty soon, the Pete Rose thing just annoys me.
That's the one I don't get.
You know, when I see DraftKings and all these, you know, gambling sites that you see all over. I mean, you see them on center field and right field walls. You see them inscripted on the mound. Sometimes you have it's everywhere.
Yep.
We're branding it now. And now you're going to tell me that arguably Pete Rose is one of the best players ever to play the game of baseball. You could say that he could be on the Mount Rushmore of baseball, Pete Rose, with what he did in baseball, how many hits he had, what he meant to the game. Pete Rose needs to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think he deserves to be in it before he passes away. I really believe that. It's a shame to me to think. And up to something else. The Cincinnati Reds are still making money on Pete Rose by giving a bobblehead game, you know, bobbleheads of Pete Rose. And he's not allowed to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, these holier-than-thou, you know, writers need to, like, wake up and get to a point where it's like, you know what? It's evolved here. Baseball's evolved. Gambling is now streamlined. Anybody can do it. You can do it off your cell phone. Everything's legal. Let him be in the Hall of Fame. If anyone deserves to be in it, it's Pete Rose.
And I've always thought Dan Patrick put this really well a while ago, that, you know, put him in as a player and note, like, almost like an undergraduate versus graduate degree. His undergraduate, you know, his resume is unrivaled,
right?
And then he went to grad school and cheated.
Yeah,
and okay. Like you can recognize both at the same time. You don't have to throw out one because of the other.
And I think he's done his time
because they're not connected.
And I agree. And I don't think you have to put a hashtag on with that. You have to put like an asterisk on it. I don't think you have to do that. I think he's done his time. Don't you think? We're talking years and 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 years here. This isn't like this happened 10 years ago. And now gambling has become a huge deal. I mean, the World Poker Tour, I mean, that was number one on television through the mid-2000s. I mean, we gamble. Everybody gambles. Everyone's into it. Okay, he made a mistake. We get it. But this is like the death sentence for him. He can never get in. Give me a break. All right, we'll be right.
Now, back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Before we get to the week 11 picks that we love to do here, I want to go to Pat's text in the Town Fair Tire text. And he said, he goes, Pat from Mexico, Jeff, you are so right that they belong there, but Bud Selig's in and he knew all about this. They should be in, no question. So that's a great point brought out by Pat from Essex. So thanks for that text. I mean, Bud Selig's in there. I mean, Bud Selig's in there and he allowed it forever. And then Bud Selig basically picked the guys he wanted to go after. You know, yep. A-Rod was the cover boy. That's who he's going to get. And that's who he went and he got. That's who he destroyed. All those players out there, but Bud Selig sitting pretty in the Hall of Fame. So that's a great, great text. I appreciate that, Pat. But, yeah, we'll talk more about this as we go down the road here in future Sports Saturdays. But at the end of the day, let Pete Rose back in, please. All right. It's week 11 in the NFL. Cue the music, my man. I love this music. Don't you just love this?
Oh, yeah.
All right, kiddo, go ahead.
Atlanta Falcons at New Orleans Saints -3.5.
I'm going to tell you that this will be the week that I stink, and this will be the week that you actually keep score.
I'm going to have all the weeks.
Okay, so big news out of New Orleans, obviously, is that Drew Brees is injured, collapsed lung. He's got rib issues. That's a tough injury. And everybody all week thought that it'd be Jameis Winston, but it's not Jameis Winston. Who is it? Taysom Hill, the kid. So this is like the scat back kind of. This is the quarterback they bring in, you know, on special situations. I love it. I'm still going to take the Falcons, though. Again, I'm going to take the 3.5 with the Falcons. I think they're going to score a lot of points. They're going to make New Orleans score a lot of points, and I'm not sure he can do that. I'm going to flip the coin here. I'm going to take the 3.5 and take the Falcons on the road. It's probably a big mistake, but I'm going to do it anyway.
If it's a mistake, I like it right now. I'm going with you on that. I don't have the most confidence, like you said, in whether it's Taysom Hill or Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston splitting time in getting that done to win by a comfortable margin. I think this could be the Falcons ripe to pluck one here.
I don't think it's splitting time. I saw a report that there are no packages built for Jameis Winston as of right now.
Wouldn't he slot into whatever Drew Brees' packages were?
You'd think so, but if they're starting Taysom Hill, I think they're going to be doing a lot of option, a lot of weird stuff back there. I don't necessarily trust Taysom Hill, but I do trust Sean Payton. I think he's going to do some tricky stuff. I also don't trust the Falcons, so I've got the Saints this week. Cincinnati Bengals at the Washington football team -1.
I'm impressed with Washington last week. I think they went on the road, got way down against Detroit on the road, came back and had it tied late. Detroit ends up winning with a 60-something yard field goal from Prater. But I like this Bengals team. I really do. I like where they're going. I like Burrow. I'm gonna take the one point and take the Bengals this week on the road.
I agree. I think Washington is pretty weak, and we have seen enough, you know, now 10, 11 weeks into the season. We know that the Bengals aren't great, but they can do stuff, and I'd like their chances against a lesser team.
And good wide receivers. I mean, surprisingly good wide receivers in Cincinnati. Now, I'm not just talking about A.J. Green.
No, they also got they still have Tyler Boyd running around.
Tyler Boyd, but they also have got Higgins on there, which is a really good wide receiver as well.
Yeah, I've got the Bengals as well. I like what they've been doing lately. I think they're working towards something. They're growing. Washington, I think, is a little bit more in disarray overall as an organization. Plus, since he's getting 1 point, so it's not much of a line.
Can I just say real quick, though, but you got to give Ron Rivera a ton of credit for what he's doing in Washington, because I think he's keeping them galvanized and together. I mean, that team, you can say what you want about them, and I don't think they're as unsteady as you think they are. Obviously, having to go with their third quarterback now, which is a difficult thing for them, but they run the ball well. They've got enough passing attack. They play good defense. He's got them going in the right direction. They may not have the purse up, but
he's done a good job. It is any disarray that is going on there is not the fault of Ron Rivera. Right, that is for sure. Detroit Lions at Carolina Panthers -3.
Yeah, no McCaffrey this week for the Carolina Panthers, and obviously we know there's a sprained MCL for Bridgewater. I'm going to take the Lions. I like what they're doing.
I think that's an easy call. I think you take away Carolina's best player and quarterback. That's
and they're getting three.
Yeah, come on.
Yep, I forgot about the injury. So I've got the Detroit Lions as well. That threw me for a loop. I completely forgot that they lost what's-his-name.
I'm here for you.
All right. New England Patriots at Houston Texans +2.
If you didn't think Bill Belichick had it, you didn't watch last week against the Ravens. I mean, Bill Belichick is it. He's the guy, and he's got the Patriots back playing well. I'm taking him. I mean, I'm going to take him, give the points to the Texans. The Texans have the potential to put some numbers up. We know that, but the Patriots still play defense. Belichick's a savant. I'm taking the Patriots on the road.
Yeah, Patriots by a field goal, I'll get that. That's after what they showed me last week. Let's go.
Patriots got back David Andrews and I believe Shaq Mason a few weeks ago, and it looks like the last 2 weeks they woke up and realized it. They've been running the ball. They've been getting great stuff out of Damian Harris. They remind me a little bit of what Tennessee has been doing, right? Pounding the ball inside and then making plays out of the play action to try and get the pass game going. And it's been effective, and their defense has been playing very well in the back end. I like what they're doing. I think Houston has been really struggled and shot themselves in the foot a lot at times this year. So I've got New England as well. Philadelphia Eagles at Cleveland Browns, -3.
Chubb is back. This team can run the football. I don't love the quarterback in Cleveland, but I think it's enough. The Eagles can't stop anybody. I'm going to take the Browns.
Yeah, Browns seem like another easy pick here after, you know, the Eagles, you know, lost by 10 to your Giants. Like, they lost to a team that's trying to become something and not, you know, yet not yet a world beater. That's not the mark of a good situation to be in. So, yeah, Browns -3, sure.
I have the Browns as well. I know the Eagles have gotten back some pieces, and they should look even better. I know they didn't look great against the Giants, but they looked better. I think they should look.
And I think Myles Garrett is out this week. I think he leads the league in sacks for the Browns, too. He's out, but I'm still going to take it.
And they should look even better this week, but I still think all around Cleveland is a stronger team at the moment. And I also, they're at home, so I've got the Browns. Pittsburgh Steelers at Jacksonville Jaguars, +10.5.
I'm taking the 10.5, taking the Jags. I mean, people are down on them, but these guys play hard. They went to Green Bay.
That surprised me last week.
They were close. They almost won a game. I'm trying to think who they played the week before, which is a very close game. This is without Minshew. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will win the game, but I'm going to take the 10.5 and take the Jags.
I'm going Steelers. I think they can beat this team, but like, I don't know how much longer the Jags can keep doing that. I think Steelers, I mean, they're arguably one of the two or three best teams in the league right now.
True. Maybe the best team.
Yeah. I don't really want to give them that much credit, but I will give them a win by at least 11.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Steelers right now are maybe the most complete team. They look like they have it locked down at pretty much every position. I think Jacksonville is not, you know, some of their games, I think, have been a little bit of a smokescreen at times. And I think Pittsburgh is legit. I've got them winning by at least 11 as well. Tennessee Titans at Baltimore Ravens, -6.
Last week, I thought the Titans were one of the best teams in football.
And they didn't play like it.
And they did not play like it. And I think the Ravens are due to play well. They're going to play well this week and beat the Titans.
Yeah, I think the Ravens bounce back. I mean, they're going to be at home. Titans maybe in an iffy spot. They could be looking for a bounce back too, but they have less room to bounce back through.
They don't play defense well.
Yeah.
They don't defend well.
I don't see the Ravens struggling for a second week.
I am going to go with what I wrote down, even though I don't totally feel great about
it. You like the Titans and the points, don't you?
I do like the Titans. They're getting the points. Their offensive formula is similar to what the Pats did last week. I know there was a lot of other stuff going on. The weather made it hard for Baltimore. But I think if the formula worked for the Pats and Tennessee does it even better, they should be able to put up points. And it's six. They're getting six, so I've got the Titans. Green Bay Packers versus Indianapolis Colts, or at Indianapolis Colts, -1.5.
The most inconsistent great team in the NFL is the Green Bay Packers. I mean, they are an enigma to me. I'm not sure who they are, not sure what they are. They're a team that I thought a couple weeks ago would win a Super Bowl. Now I think they could get beat in the first round. I think the Colts are great. I mean, I'm impressed with them. I watched the whole game against Baltimore. I think they have a lot of ways to beat you. I'm going to pick the Colts and give the points.
I'll go Packers. I don't think the Colts, I know they're better, but they haven't really convinced me of anything. And Packers, I at least know a little more what I'm getting there. I think they can do it.
The Packers can really score points. It's surprising to me with what they've got on offense. I know they have Aaron Rodgers. I know they have a good running back, but with like a lot of the sort of nameless receivers and stuff, they put up a lot of points.
And that part of my decision here was, if I'm going to trust Aaron Rodgers or Phillip Rivers, that decision is made for me before I have to make it. It's Aaron Rodgers.
I've got the Colts. I just think that they're the more well-rounded team. I've made a lot of picks based on that this week. That might burn me. But I think they're solid pretty much all around. New York Jets versus Los Angeles Chargers -9.5. I think we all know where this is going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the Bolts in this one, but I think the 9.5 might be sketchy to me. I think the Jets will give them a battle.
It is a big line.
It's a big number, but I'll take the Chargers.
The Bolts.
Yeah, I've got the Chargers. The Chargers, we've said all year, better than their record. I'm not sure the Jets are. So I've got the Chargers. Miami Dolphins at Denver Broncos +3.5.
I'm high on the Dolphins. I'm high on two, but I'm going to take the Broncos and take the
3.5.
Yeah, the Broncos come off a tough loss. I think they're better than they look. And I think Miami is more about keeping the game close for Tua than it is about putting a lot of points. But I think Denver is going to beat them on the road. For Miami to be on the road, I think Denver wins at home.
I liked Miami beating the Chargers last week. We'd been talking about how the Chargers were way better than their record. Yeah. Dolphins beat them by 8. I like them going on the road and beating a suspect Broncos team by at least 4.
These are both really interesting teams to me. I think Denver and Miami are both better teams than people realize and have much brighter futures than people realize. But I think Miami's closer to it right now. I think they're very well coached. I think Tua's been good. I think their team has been, you know, very solid. So I think I got the Miami Dolphins beating the Denver Broncos by at least 4. Dallas Cowboys at Minnesota Vikings -7.
Don't look now, but the Vikings are one game away from being .500 and putting themselves in a position to be in the playoffs. This is a dangerous football team. The Cowboys, we know, are struggling. I will take the Vikes at home, and I'll lay the 7.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. I don't
hear that, Dennis in Georgia. Here comes Kirk Cousins.
Well, I'm not going that far. I just think they're going to beat the Cowboys rather comfortably. I don't have as much stock in the Vikings being a you know, late closer like you seem to think they are now that they're getting hot. Almost .500, no. But they'll beat them by
at least 7. Went on the road and beat the Bears last week. That's a big win. I mean, they got it done.
The Cowboys are a mess, so.
They are.
Yeah, I've got the Vikings. Kansas City Chiefs at Las Vegas Raiders +8.5.
I mean, 3 days ago when I didn't know that all of the Raiders' defense was on COVID watch, I thought maybe that this was a big number. But, I think the Chiefs. No one is talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending world champions, arguably the best. I mean, they're unbelievable. They have the best quarterback, 8-1. I mean, and no one seems to talk about them. I'm going to take them, and they're mad. Okay, I mean, remember, the Raiders went into Kansas City and beat them a couple weeks ago. I'm going to take the Chiefs on the road. I'll lay the 8.5.
Yeah, if they're mad and they're fresh coming off a bye, and they still got Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, he's the best.
The Raiders did just blow out the Broncos last week.
The Raiders are a good football team.
Chiefs aren't the Broncos, and I like the Chiefs.
I actually have the Raiders. I think the Raiders played the Chiefs very well last time around. I think Derek Carr is finally starting to shake that, the whatever it was, those yips that he got whenever they would play the Chiefs. It looks like he shook it. They're a very good team. I don't think they win. I just don't think they lose by 9 or more. I think they keep it maybe within a touchdown, maybe around a touchdown. Kansas City walks away with the win, but I walk away with the dub in the pick. That's my thinking. Los Angeles Rams at Tampa Bay Buccaneers -4.
Last week I said I don't know who the Rams are, right? I said there's no way they're going to beat Seattle. Yeah. They beat Seattle. I mean, and now who the hell's the Seattle Seahawks?
They addressed that and stamped it and put it in the mail, just sent right to you.
And then the Buccaneers got blown out by New Orleans and turn around and play an unbelievable game on the road in Carolina. I'm going to take Tom Brady and the Bucs, though, anyway. I like what they're doing. They're galvanizing themselves offensively. And they got TB12. I'm going to take the Bucs. I'm going to lay the 4.
Yeah, I'm gleaning more from the Bucs doubling up the Panthers last week. Go with Tommy.
I don't like going rooting against. I don't like picking against Tom Brady. That scares me. But I just. Weird stuff goes on with Tampa. One week they're up. Next week they put up 3 points. I don't know what's going on with them. I think the Rams win or within 4. I think that's fair.
All right. Well, so you take the Rams?
Yep, I got the Rams.
Okay. All right. So this next week we'll be able to come on and say that we don't know who won because Aaron will have lost the sheets.
And I'm handing you my picks right now.
I am too. I'm putting mine around the plexiglass as we speak.
I'm staying here longer after the show, ordering lunch in, doing extras. I'm going to go back and listen to the shows and make sure I've got everybody's picks.
And that's what great producers do. We'll be right back.
You better crank up that AC because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
What do you got today, pal?
This is Hot or Not, and it is brought to you by Superb Cupcakes. They're open for curbside pickup. Available flavors are posted on their Facebook and Instagram pages daily. You can call them today at 802-871-5941 and place your order for contact-free pickup today.
So today's cupcake of the day is Boston cream pie.
Oh, don't tell me that.
But yeah,
my favorite. There's nothing better for me than a Boston cream cake, donut, whatever. It's my favorite thing.
But what really caught my eye here is the Thanksgiving menu.
Break it out.
Like everybody, if you're driving or whatever, be safe.
Yeah, seatbelts on. Two hands on the wheel.
About to get gratuitous. Pecan pie.
Boom.
Vanilla cupcake filled with pecan filling topped with vanilla butter cream.
I'll take it.
Maple Bliss. VT Maple Bliss. Maple cupcake filled and topped with maple butter cream and chocolate sprinkles.
Yep.
We have pumpkin cheesecake.
Oh, that's the one.
Pumpkin cupcake.
That's the one.
Topped with cream cheese frosting.
That's the one.
Rolled in graham crackers with a caramel drizzle.
Touchdown.
And then last but not least of these special ones, sweet potato pie, which is a sweet potato cupcake topped with marshmallow buttercream and mini marshmallows.
Unbelievable. The Daniel Jones of all cupcake shops, I'm just telling you.
Well,
I think we might call him the Tom Brady of all cupcake shops if we want to be real. Like, this is the goat stuff.
Just
here.
For the record, one of the owners, Joe, would be so mad that I said that because he's a big Eagles fan.
Yeah, that's a. Hey,
that's careful. Why I said it.
Don't jeopardize the cupcake stream here.
Yeah, check them out. They are the best. And if you're looking for a treat right now, obviously everyone's looking for a treat and something to look forward to. Get yourself a superb cupcake there in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston. Do yourself a favor. And I will tell you that. Out of all of that menu, that pumpkin cheesecake one is just calling me.
Yeah, I saw you fidget in your seat there.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And I like the way you explain too. You kind of make me hungry the way you say it. You know, the buttercream. You know what I mean?
The
cream cheese filling. I mean, just let's go.
I'm thinking I can turn this whole me losing papers thing into a real win by calling Romanto's.
Yep, that would be a win.
Having them send over some of that Thanksgiving pizza.
Yeah,
and on their way, they could just pull around the corner, stop at Superb Cupcakes, and pick me up some cupcakes, drop it all off.
That could happen. That could happen.
Thinking I could...
So, in that Thanksgiving menu, they're accepting pre-orders. I don't think that means you can get these cupcakes today. But if you ordered them now, you could get them for Thanksgiving. And you'd be supporting a local shop, and that's really good right now.
Exactly. But I wouldn't be surprised if they did have those right now, though. So you just call them and get – they have so many, though. Just do yourself a favor. Help them out. And they're not just help them out. Just help yourself out, too. They're the best cupcakes.
It's a win-win.
It is.
Purchasing at Superb Cupcakes is a win-win.
Exactly.
The Celtics – so this one's not as much a huge hot take as I really wanted to hit on this.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fitting time. The Celtics should sign and trade Hayward to Indiana for Miles Turner.
Ooh.
Gordon Hayward opts out.
Yeah.
They drafted a forward. He wants to go to Indiana.
So what's the deal, though, on contract? So they sign him for a big deal. Does that mean that Indiana will have to pay the same contract?
Yes, but that, I mean, if Indiana wants him, they're going to have to do that anyway.
But I know, but Indiana's not going to give up anybody if they know that. Because I'm going to say not because I know, right now it looks like Indiana's the number one destination for him. So why would the Pacers want to trade somebody to get somebody they can sign without trading anybody?
It would incentivize... isn't that how it works? It incentivizes for Hayward because he can get a little more than he could if he just straight up went somewhere. Isn't that the whole point of the sign and trade idea?
I think it's the other way around that it incentivizes. No, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can get a little more because he's being shipped.
He's being re-signed with the team he was already with, which opens up further, you know, level of compensation. And then he gets shipped, which everybody wins.
Yeah. He would get to go where he wants to go, too. His hometown team, he's been itching to go there. I think he was talking about 4 years, $90 million was what people were saying he would be wanting.
That's the offer I presented for the station, and I haven't heard back yet. So.
Oh, they haven't heard
no, I don't get it.
Well, you give him a few weeks.
I'm sure they're making moves in the budget. They'll cut my pay to
just
make
give
space.
Give him a couple weeks. Give him a couple
weeks. I'm not asking for that.
I would understand.
At least you get paid. I don't even get paid.
Ken in White River says Celtics pay some of the cap space. That would be some of the incentives for Indiana.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's some. There you go.
I think it's interesting. I think if you're the Celtics, you definitely want that because they just went and got a rookie forward. They've already got depth.
And of course, you get another great player.
They know what they need. And a great player at a position where they do not have a great player. They have, you know, role players. And they lost Enes Kanter, so that's gone. They've pretty much got Tice, and that's it. So I think it makes sense from the Celtics' point of view. I think Gordon Hayward would be a very happy man if it happened. It's really just a matter of if Indiana's happy with what they're talking about. The Eagles should have... reading.
Ooh.
Tough stuff, huh?
Well, reading this week, next week we do shapes.
We'll see. Shapes get me too. Squares, circles. I don't know how any of that. The Eagles should have held on to Nick Foles and let go of Wentz, hot or not.
So interesting that you bring that up. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about this last week before you came in, but Brett Favre came out about a week and a half ago and said that the Eagles made a big mistake letting Foles go. They should have done it vice versa. I'm going to say not. I think Wentz is the younger quarterback. I think he's definitely the more athletic quarterback. I mean, Foles is definitely a winner. But I think the Eagles would have regressed quicker than they have if they kept Nick Foles. So I say not. I think they did the right thing.
I'm going to say hot. I mean, I think they saw what they got out of Foles. They thought they knew what they were getting out of Wentz, but he clearly hasn't been the same since the injury. And Foles was the guy that got you the Super Bowl. Like, at the end of the day, that was the hardest thing to understand. Like, the guy that got them their Super Bowl was not the guy they kept. And I get the longevity thing, but like, when you stack up what they've done since, they
you
didn't
put
necessarily
Nick,
make
but
the
you
right.
Put, you put Nick Foles on that Eagles team right now, and it would be really bad. It would be really bad. I mean, you could see what happened this past week against Minnesota. They got after him a little bit, and now he's out. I mean, he's not a... I mean, he's a winner, and the story is unbelievable, but you really think you bet the ranch on the Eagles if you keep Foles over Wentz, really?
They bet the ranch on Wentz, and
no, I mean,
I'm
with you on Wentz. Like, I don't think he's the same either as injury, but man, that's a tough call. Tough call.
So, my opinion on it is we've sort of seen Nick Foles really, like, has to have a lot in front of him. Like, those Eagles teams would put Nick Foles in because Wentz was hurt. Then they'd get back like four pieces, and then he'd look really good. He's got a Chicago team that has weapons. He should be able to make it work there, and he was sort of skidding by. And Carson Wentz, when healthy and when he has that support, has been very good. It's just a matter of being healthy and being surrounded by the right pieces. So I think it was sort of a lose-lose where you were going with either the injury-prone quarterback or the guy who really does need to have all that stuff. I don't buy that Nick Foles could go with some of those lacking rosters that Carson Wentz had to deal with at times and actually still be that guy. I don't buy that.
And I think Wentz can still make, he makes all the throws. I mean, he can do a lot. He can still move in the pocket. I mean, I guess just going forward, I mean, it's a tough call because he just wins you a championship and he was really high at the moment. I just feel like the Eagles, I think the way Eagles window's closing anyway, I've said it for a long time, but I think it would have closed a lot quicker if he was still the quarterback. But again, I mean, how do you argue with what Austin said? Because you know, he won a Super Bowl with it. I mean, he won a Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, you think that he'd be the guy you stick with.
Yeah. It was such a weird set of circumstances to develop, though, that, right. To recreate that. And it's I'm glad I didn't have to make that decision.
Yeah, very true.
I think we'd probably be asking this question either way.
Yeah.
Just flipped.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right. N'Keal Harry will not finish his rookie contract in New England.
Ooh.
Not. I mean, I think he will.
Should he? I think it was it off the air we were talking about? I can't remember what's on the air, off the air. We've just been chatting for 2 hours.
It was off the air, I think.
So, like, we're talking, you know, taking N'Keal Harry before DK Metcalf. And if you could redo that as a Patriots fan, you'd say, please take DK Metcalf. But... I'd like to think that they saw something in N'Keal Harry that they just haven't tapped into yet. There have been flashes, like when he does look reasonably good, you're like, yes, that's why we got him. And then the rest of the time, it's like, why did we get him? So yeah. I, considering how little remorse Belichick shows for letting guys go, they could very well could. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if they got rid of him.
Ooh, I hope they do. Then the Giants, that'd be a good pickup for the Giants.
So another B tier or C tier wide receiver for you guys?
Big wide receiver for my best quarterback.
What scares me is he struggled to create separation. So he's great once he has the ball, but they've had to do a lot of like design plays, get him the ball behind the line of scrimmage stuff to make that happen, which I think that probably doesn't bode well for him in terms of his future in New England. I think the biggest reason he probably finishes out his contract here is
where are you
going to deal him for?
Right.
Where are you going if you get rid of him? Like what? It's not like the Patriots are just full of great young wide receivers.
No, they would do what they've been doing, which is giving lots of snaps to Bird and Myers and hoping that they can skate by with those guys on a strong run game, which that's not promised either. There's no guarantee a run game lasts. Running backs get hurt all the time. Offensive linemen go down. All of a sudden, that whole aspect of your game's gone. So I think he stays. I just don't know as it's because they actually want him being like a centerpiece of their offense. I think it's just the reality situations. You either keep him or let him go for not a whole lot. Starting Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston was a downright stupid move for New Orleans.
Oh, not. I think it's a great move for New Orleans. And I think it is because I think what you're going to see is a lot of Kamara, and you're going to see a lot of him running the ball around. I think you're going to see a more of a college style offense. So I think the move is the right move for a team that's going to have to score some points today to beat Atlanta.
I'm right there with you. I go not. I think this as a one off or a, you know, 1 or 2 week experiment. We see this all the time. Teams that have to flirt with the option game are suddenly like something that teams can't account for. And they like it's such a weird wrinkle that they just like it just doesn't it stands out. You're gonna revamp how you do everything just for this 1 week. And yeah, I think it's brilliant, and it makes you think there could be some sense in more teams having a option style guy that in a pinch, in an off week or a weird week where your main guy gets hurt, you can throw something weird at a team and they like that now put them on their heels.
I think it actually is really good timing. They're playing a division rival, and that's a team that should know what you're planning to sort of throw at them coming into a game. But now they absolutely don't, because you're literally putting a wild card at quarterback, and he can do everything. He can play wide receiver. He can play running back. He's eligible to play at tight end.
Yeah, he's had a lot of success. Like he's a big part of their offense. I mean, he plays a part of 2 or 3 times a game.
Yeah, like I agree with Austin that for a sustained period of time, it's probably not the smart move. But for one game against a division rival to completely throw them for a loop, I think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
I mean, Baltimore took their quarterback and did this. Everyone thought it was crazy, and he ended up being one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
That's kind of the brilliant thing watching the Patriots this year with when Cam has been healthy. You like he could be an option quarterback 1 week.
Yeah.
He could be a pocket passer 1 week. He could be a handoff guy, play action guy. Like you kind of have 3 different quarterbacks.
And we talked about the Eagles. Jalen Hurts does that right now. You never know. If the Eagles struggle again tomorrow against the Browns, you wonder. You know, but they got to make a move. They got to do something. Let's play it with Jalen Hurts. All right.
That's Hot or Not.
That's Hot or Not this week, folks. Thanks so much. We're going to come right back and tie a bow on this show. Thanks for listening.